Thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of the Bloody Legends with Jai, that Aussie metal guy, and Jim Taylor. Make sure you're a bloody legend and hit that like and subscribe so you can keep up to date with all the great content from these bloody legends.
Okay, then. G'day, how are you all going? It's Jai, that Aussie metal guy, here with Crank.com and with CraniumRadio.com. So today, tonight, this morning, wherever you are in the world, it's a great pleasure that I'm getting to have a chat with Bisto Blanco. We've got Chuck and Calico maybe jumping in as well. Chuck, thank you so much for joining me, man. I know he's around and up with the latest single, Run For Your Life, which is an absolute bloody banger. You got the new album coming out, Connecticut, through COP International a little later in the year. Things are really, really rounding up for you guys since the formation.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having us. Like you said, how did you describe it? It's a bloody freight train.
Yes, dude. Pretty well. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. We're super, you know, we're stoked. The enthusiasm for the new single, Run For Your Life, has been it's been overwhelming. It's been a bit bigger than we were expecting. I have a big imagination, and I thought this one's going to really do some damage, and it really has. People love it. The response has been been overwhelming. Everybody wanting us to come to their town. They love the lyrics. They love the song. And man, do we have a record for them? I think every track on this new upcoming album is unique to itself. There's danger in every single song. There's times there's risk. There's emotions, all of it. It's really going to make you lean in, and everybody's going to get something out of it. And each time you listen to it, you'll probably get something else out of it as well. It's Bisto Blanco giving it hell, man. We're really going for it. And not only that, but working with Chris Harms from Lord of the Lost is really challenged us and challenged me to and Calico to try something new, stay in the Bisto Blanco lane, man, but don't be afraid to speed up or, you know, turn away and try something different. Stay in that lane, but at the same time maybe just drive a different car through it, you know.
Exactly. It's a ripping film clip, and we'll keep talking about this track at the moment. And you did mention Chris Harms. Calico, thank you for joining us as well.
Hey, yeah, absolutely.
Pleasure to meet you too. We were just talking about the latest track, Run For Your Life, there, and Chuck was going through a bit, but maybe you could tell me a little bit more about the film clip itself, because you directed it. And Chuck did mention Chris Harms there, who I absolutely fucking idolize, Lord of the Lost.
Dude's great king, band.
Oh, isn't he? Amazing voice, and definitely one of those bands that people like yourselves need to know more of. So, yeah, film clip.
Yeah, I mean, so Run For Your Life was a concept that I sort of came up with visually. You know, Chuck had this song that was so, like, when I first heard the title Run For Your Life, I was like, is that Bisto's kind of like stands on the soapbox of, like, you know, like 10 toes down, stand your ground, like kind of stuff. And I was like, Run For Your Life. And then he explained to me in this like really poetic way of, he's like, you know, hunter and prey. It's like, man, the hunter runs, the hunter's running for its life. Right. And it's like the concept of being able to like take hold of your destiny and go, you know, I'm not going to stand here and let this happen to me. I'm going to run. I'm going to run until I drop. And I'm not going to just run for my life. I'm going to pick you up, take you with me. I'm going to drag you in. And so the visuals for that, I just saw us. I go, where is the most remote, hopeless place? And it's bang out in the middle of the cosmos. I mean, if you're stranded out there, that's it, man. And so I just kept envisioning us on this spaceship and whatever. And the great thing about Bisto is there is no, nah, that's not going to work. These guys are very receptive to me going, so picture a spaceship, right? And nobody goes, well, how are we going to get that? Or what are we going to do? They trust me to be able to find it. And, you know, the good part about living in Hollywood where I am is there's a lot of sound stages and there's a lot of TV sets and things and relationships that I've built up where I can go, hey man, like, can I borrow your spaceship? And they go, yeah, man, get in here. So just being able to do that and having guys that are willing to let me blow them away with the laser in real time is pretty awesome.
As Jim, my co-host, jumps in there, guys, I'm Chuck, Jim, and Calico.
I was thinking, guys, who the hell is that guy?
He's my fellow American ring-in as well.
I think we're getting robbed.
Yeah, no, he's my fellow American ring-in for the Bloody Legends podcast, and he's really keen to
absolutely
jump in. Tell me a little bit about how you kind of hooked up with Chris Harms and started working with him.
Yeah, you know, we were playing a show in Germany with a notorious German band. So playing one of the local stadiums there in Frankfurt. And there's a gentleman there from a publishing company who I talked to over the phone a couple of times, who's very interested in Bisto. And so we did three nights. And he came to all three shows. And each time he came to the show, he would come backstage and he had an idea for everything. This. And then I want you to do this. And Bisto being the way that we are, we listened, we raised our eyebrows and we looked at each other and we said, hey, this guy actually has some really good ideas. The things he's suggesting will work. So we would apply for the next show. And then the next night he would come and say, okay, maybe switch this up. I love the band. This is what I'm thinking. And we kind of took his lead on a couple of things. And I'm really glad that we did, because at the end of it, he had mentioned to us, he said, hey, I got the producer for you guys. I got this guy from Lord of the Lost, Chris Harms. I think, you know, he's gonna keep you guys on track for who you are as Bisto Blanco, but he's gonna take you in a different direction at times. And he's going to really challenge you at times. And I believe he's the right guy for you. And to be quite honest, I wasn't familiar with Lord of the Lost at that particular time, but I dove in and I heard something that was completely different than what Bisto would do. But yeah, it was so cool. And his vocal approach was so unique and his lyrics were so like tangible. I can't wait to get in a room with this guy. So I think the next day, Chris Harms and I, we started just sending ideas. And the very first song that Chris Harms sent me was Run For Your Life. And we started with that particular tune. We knew it was a banger right out of the gate. And we just went after that one. And since that time, you know, each song Chris would send me or I would send him would inspire us to go, oh, you like that? I have another one like that. So you're going to hear so many different varieties of rock and roll on this record.
Yes, sir.
We'll Bisto rock and roll of us taking different directions, but staying within that Bisto Blanco lane that we've carved out so well, but we're not afraid to veer off and try something new.
That's awesome. It's very, I was actually listening with driving in here. And it's very driving. It's got elements of, you know, you have a classic rock element. You've got a grunge element. You've even got an industrial gothic element.
Yeah.
And it's like a little bit of everything, and it's very cool.
I mean, you know how Chris to say all the right things. Guy.
You're right. You know how to talk to a lady. one of my favorite parts of it was, you know, Chris pushing me vocally wasn't him going, you do it like this or do it like this. You know, there's a part in Run For Your Life where something came out of my tiny body that I was like, what was that? So it's where I hold the note, run for your life, right? And I ran out of breath. And when I ran out of breath, that was supposed to be one note. And when I ran out of breath, Bisto, for what it is and all that it is, kicked in. And I wasn't going to let it go. So I held on as long as I could. And then so I could finish the phrase, I just went, and finished it. And I remember looking up and Chris and Chuck were like,
yeah, yeah.
And they were that's like, that'll do it. I was like, okay.
That'll do it. That's that lightning in a bottle, man. It was like you channeled Bonnie Tyler and Leather Leone in like one thing. That was cool as hell.
Yes, I will go out with you.
And that's one but thing. Sorry, you go, Calico.
No, I was just in kind of like summation on that. It was like, and you hear that throughout the rest of the record, and it's a. Put like my vocals, I always, you know, kind of go, okay, well, this is what I do best and this is how I do it. But I'm a Broadway singer, like Broadway. Oh, yeah. Like, so yeah. I think they got that, like, you know, we always joke around that I don't need a microphone. So, because I know how to belt, but I didn't know how many levels that translated to. And just like what's coming out isn't like a manufactured, like, okay, we're going to do like a rah, 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 or like a shrieky thing. It was the take that they used was truly me reaching the end of what I thought I could do. And then just pushing my nails into my hands and just screaming out the rest. And I mean, every time I hear it, I get goosebumps because I remember being like, no, and pushing. And that's the moral of the song is like, I've hit it. And now I'm going to keep pushing, just head down, butting through that thing that I thought was the end.
Yeah. It's like bending that note to your will.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's one thing I've noticed, guys. Sorry, Calico. With your albums, with Beasto's albums, I've loved hearing them, but I've also loved the progression and how Chuck has progressively kind of come on originally as like a backing singer, and Chuck's like, no, you know what I mean? It feels like each album you've done more and more to where the last album was 50-50 almost, you know what I mean? You're both adding vocally.
I think that's important to the Beasto song. I realized it very early in our career when we had just the first record. I thought, whoa, there's just not enough here. She's more than, she's not a prop. I know that, I know this person very well. I know that what she's capable of. She is, you know, sort of my Bonnie to my Clyde, you know, if you will.
Absolutely.
It takes two of us to do what we do. We found out early that, we needed more of whatever it is she's giving us. And so that just developed the character of the Machine Girl character. It developed Calico's ability to sing and to sing more and to sing different. Her and I both have a gift of being able to sing with a lot of power, but also we can sing very soft at the same time. She can do many things with her voices. With her voice, so I think you're going to hear
voices,
that.
The voices,
so we've all got some voices.
But you'll hear it in Connecticut too, just like you heard it in We Are. And the beautiful thing is you'll hear how Connecticut has taken from where we are last record, where we are now with this big group effort.
Well, that's going to be fun. You go, Calico.
I was gonna say, and for me personally, on this one, it was like, you know, what I do for my day job is I do a lot of film and television in LA, and one of the things that is so key to that is beauty, right? And it's like the perfect face and the perfect whatever. And I remember where that blue streak on my eye came from is people were really pushing me to go, hey, we need you to bring more, you know, more of like a traditional sex appeal to this and more of like a whatever. And I was doing my makeup for one of the things and it was like this blue eye. And I just looked at myself in the mirror and I just dragged my hand down it.
That's rad.
And
I like that.
I felt powerful and beautiful because I basically just went, I was trying to do this makeup and going, how do I stay in this character and make it prettier? And then I just went, well, what does that mean for me? And just dragging it down. And all of a sudden I was like, that is beautiful to me. That looks like how I feel.
You can,
right?
You can still be primal and beautiful all at once. You know what I mean?
And that's exactly, that's who I wanted to sell it to. And the idea of, if you find it compelling, the visual, it's, I mean, the reason that I have all the cuts and bruises and stuff like that is the weird fascination of, you look at something that's pretty to look at, right? And that's cool. Mm. But for me, yeah. This person you're talking to, and Chuck and I talk about this all the time, this is more of the character, right? This is a person I put on every day so I can go grocery shopping and I can do all that stuff. But really, if I Scooby-Doo pull the mask off, that thing is under this thing. And it's more of a, I want to show you all of the like scars and the punches that I cover up with my expensive foundation. That's underneath this. And it's this great opportunity to be able to go, I find this compelling. I find this beautiful. Yeah. And I want to show you where I got knocked in the face and kicked and got up anyway. And that is so compelling for me to show, because it's not playing it, it's showing it.
The on Metallica's Death Magnetic, if you listen to the demos of their, or of the, what would become that record, God forgive me, and I know their catalog inside and out, they have a song off Death Magnetic, and Hetfield has the lyrics, "Let the Scars Tell the Story." And I was like, whoa. And he ended up not, I don't think he used it for the final version, because it just didn't, it flowed. But I was like, "Let the Scars Tell the Story." And like, you know, there's something to be said of that, you know? And that's why I think you're
not just physical scars either, man. They're internal, mental, they're emotional.
Emotional. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
I mean, even a little insight into like the Run for Your Life video. Like I was born with an autoimmune disease that I've had since I was a kid. Right. And one of the things that I've had since I was a kid, and like, try going to a birthday party with ulcerative colitis as a kid. Right. It's
nice. I've got an ileostomy at the moment, Calico. An ileostomy.
I was born with it. And so, if you look in at the video, you'll notice that I have a hole in my stomach where if you look at the shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got one.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, we all have these things. And like, so for me, when I did the makeup for that video, I wanted to show, okay, how did they take the Machine Girl? And that day I was doubled over in pain. And so I blew a hole in the shirt like that big with the blood around it, right where it hurt. So anytime in the video when they would focus on it, I was really holding the part that hurt. And you're getting these real moments that I think are just, I think that you can smell the authenticity.
You definitely
can. Among other things. But
you definitely can.
That should be an album title right there. Or a Spinal Tap album, I don't know.
The authenticity.
Well, coming back to this track and in your music in general, you have so many different layers, and I'm loving seeing the growth of you both as vocalists and working together. And it must be fun for you, Chuck, as well, to see the growth of the band from the beginning back, 2012 when you formed it. You know, probably some people don't realize who you guys were and what you were doing before, but you just have quite an extensive career as well. You starting out with kind of doing the theatrical stuff with your dad there, and then you playing with Alice, and then kind of going out on your own and starting this original project, which has been great to see the growth and the evolution. But it must be fun as a songwriter, Chuck, to be able to create this music and to be able to work
with
and the growth and to see where it's going.
Well, you know what's been the most fun is I always had a vision when I was writing the songs of something happening other than the songs.
Yep.
And I wasn't quite sure what it was. I kind of had a real, you know, like a small tinge of an idea, enough of an idea for me to go to Calico and say, "Hey, what are you doing right now?" You know, and I was like, "Oh, I'm just hanging." I go, "If I was to tell you this, I got this band I want to start, and I got these songs, and this is how I see you in it. I don't know if that's something you're into or it's something that can happen. But what's been the most fun for me is to see where we started with her saying, "Yeah, I'll do it. Let's see what happens. I'll come into the studio, track some vocals." To where I love looking back at film and pictures and seeing what we were doing then and all that we've been through and what we're doing now, which still to this day, we still got a chip on our shoulder and we still have something to prove. And even Damn though we've strike. Done now four records and world tours, I think even now it's becoming even more, the evolution is so much fun to be part of. You almost have to kind of reel it back a little bit because there's been people that haven't even had a chance to see it. We still got to get over to Australia.
Yep.
You know, we got to get to other places in the world. So there's things that we're kind of can get ahead of ourselves, but yeah, I mean, look, man, it's seen a something that was an idea and a band that I started with people that I knew were gold. They were gold already, man. I just maybe just needed to dust them off a little bit or encourage them or shine a light on them, what have you. They were there, and I needed people that were going to encourage me and lift me up, and I surrounded myself with that.
That's the best, dude.
It's always the best. You got Calico.
Well, I was going to say, for Connecticut, like for this record, it was an opportunity for me to really, these guys set me up on the golf tee of life to really succeed. And so they just went, go. And I looked and I went, you mean go, go? Because I'll go. And they were like,
How far? How far? Yeah.
Yep. And so I was allowed to just like explode, which is where the name Connecticut came from, because for so long I've been involved in these amazing things like, you know, Alice Cooper and a bunch of film and TV and stuff, but it was someone else's parameters, someone else's world. So I could do so much in them without spoiling their vision of what it is that they wanted to do. So for Bisto, they kind of handed me over this concept, and like Connecticut is like, I'm always moving, partially because I'm pretty uncomfortable a lot of the time, my stomach and everything. I'm like, and so the kinetic movement of me doing this for years and years, and then finally they open the floodgates and I just fifth element, bah, and just like let it out. Yeah. So we ended up doing 11 videos for 11 songs.
That's rad.
That's really cool. It's a big part really of the cool. band as well, doing like, I think it's like 88,000 views for Run For Your Life. And people who are watching this, just hit the subscribe on Bisto when you watch it. Wouldn't that be great as well? It's an inexpensive way to support the band. You sit there and look at all those views. Please, people, just hit the subscribe.
It really is. And I mean, it's for you, dude. It's for everyone. And that's something that I think rock and roll, the genesis of it was... if you're our people, you're our people. You can slap the word black metal, pop punk, whatever on it. But the whole point of it was a chip on your shoulder rebellion a little bit to like the status quo. And whatever hat you put on it, we all have the same vision of like, oh, really? Really? We all have that in common. And so like Connecticut as a record and Run For Your Life specifically was like this concept of like, we always think of like strength as like standing 10 toes down and being like, I'll take it. But if you think about all the apex predators, they run, baby. Yep. They run. Yep. They'll chase that dream down. They'll chase that impossible thing down and grab it by the jugular and take it down. And that was kind of the concept.
That's kind of concept. And it's a motivation for life. We're all running for our life too. And that's kind of has that with the opening lines from Chuck when you're like, boom, and then he's like, run for your life, screams there, and he's like, straight into it. Everybody, go get Run For Your Life, put it in the stereos, crank it up really fucking loud for the neighbors, chuck in some pre-orders for Connecticut. I know you have a whole bunch of tours for the European Festival coming up, which I did kind of want to mention. You're already confirmed for WAC and You Are Rock and Plague Noir, and I know Europe has been going absolutely great guns for Bisto as well, so hopefully the rest of the world catches on and follows fucking suit, get you down under and everywhere bloody else. Guys, do you have any last words, shout outs, thank yous, or anything else you'd like to add in there?
I mean, grateful.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time, and we look forward to getting to Australia soon. To all your listeners out there, yeah, please go out there, watch the video, you know, listen to the music, make it undeniable. Tell everybody, that way they have to bring us there. They don't want to, they have to. Let's do this.
Yeah, bring
together.
Us to Australia, because I've got something to show you.
There we go, people. Everybody go grab the single, buy the merch, support the band, stream the hell out of it. That's the way you get them into your country. Cheers, guys. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank
Have
you, man.
Lovely
nice talking to
you. God bless you guys.
Thank you so much, my friend. See you.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Cheers.